You've gone over your budget till your eyes glaze over. Cut every unnecessary expense. It's been months since you went out for pizza, but the numbers still don't work. But there's one thing left to do. So if you can't reduce your outgo, you have to increase your income. And we've got 10 ways you can do that today. Financial planner and teacher Rob West has that list, and then he takes your calls most days, but not today. We are not in the studio. This broadcast is pre-recorded, but we have great information coming your way. We hope you won't change your plans. We hope you'll stay with us right here on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, we have to give a shout-out to faithful MoneyWise listener Dan for suggesting this topic. Yes. He says we're always talking about trimming the budget, but he suggests that sometimes it's easier to balance the books by bringing in just a little bit more income.
And he's certainly right about that, Steve. So thank you, Dan. And you want to get started?
Yeah, please get started.
All right. 10 suggestions. First one is easiest by far, and we talk about this a lot. Move your savings to an online bank. They pay much higher interest than brick-and-mortar banks. It won't net you a lot, but it's certainly easy to do. Number two is taking paid surveys. Companies will actually pay you to answer consumer-related questions. Completing a few surveys a day could bring in $200 a month. You'd want to check out Survey Junkie, Swagbucks, and Vindale Research, to name a few. Vindale has surveys that pay up to $50. And by the way, Steve, all of these links we give during this segment will be in our show notes, so you can check that out at moneywiselive.org.
Yeah. All right. Well, that seems simple enough. Answer questions, get money. What's next?
Well, number three is a little more involved, but it can pay big bucks. Sign up to list an extra room in your house on Airbnb. One survey found that the average Airbnb host earns over $900 a month.
That is amazing. But I suspect that maybe your location is a big factor in how much you can actually charge and earn if you live near a big city or a major tourist attraction, I don't know, Disney World or Niagara Falls. You can probably command more than if you live in the middle of, I don't know, Montana. Not that I don't like Montana. I do like Montana.
Beautiful
Billings,
country.
Montana. Trout fishing and all that. But still, location may have a major impact.
That's probably true. The only way to know for sure is to sign up at Airbnb. All right. Number four is making extra dollars by grocery shopping. You can do that with an app called Ibotta, as in Ibotta something at the grocery store. That's Ibotta. It gives rebates on items at the grocery store you're probably buying anyway. Just scan the item's barcode, snap a picture of the receipt, and you get rebate money within a couple of days. All right, number five is similar, but for online shopping. These days, we're buying more and more stuff online, so why not get cash back for doing it? Check out Rakuten, Shop at Home, and Coupon Cactus, to name a few.
Makes sense if you're shopping online anyway, and if you're not signed up with one of those, it's like throwing money away. What else do you have?
Well, number six is driving for Uber or Lyft. There has been a lot of hype about how much drivers make on average, but around $12 an hour seems like a fairly realistic estimate. Number seven is, and this sounds a little crazy, but you may be able to make money with T-shirts. Teespring, that's TeeSpring.com, allows you to design and sell shirts through their site without paying up front for inventory. They print and ship the shirts to your customers. So if you're feeling really creative, that might be a way to go.
I like it. We need a MoneyWise Live T-shirt with picture on the front, Rob.
Not sure about that.
All right. What else?
All right, let's see. We're up to number eight. How about unloading your old textbooks? College students often sell their unused books back to the campus bookstore because it's convenient, but they have to accept whatever price the bookstore's offering. A site called Book Scouter compares prices offered for your book at 44 vendors to see who will pay the most. And this is particularly helpful if your campus bookstore won't buy your book because they think it's too old. Book Scouter might find a vendor still willing to buy it.
Interesting. Okay, two left. Let's sneak them in.
Number nine is be a thrift shop flipper. That's when you go to thrift shops, flea markets, and yard sales and buy items that are undervalued, and then you sell them on places like eBay. And then there's number 10, and it's a way to earn more money that most people avoid as long as possible, asking your boss for a raise. Do that, have the backup reason why you're asking, and then see what happens. You never know.
All great ways to make money. And if you don't mind, Rob, I'd like to chat with you after the program.
Okay.
Money Wise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Stick around. Don't go away.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can. When you discover the Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of the Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
Have you recently felt like your prayers went unanswered? Like God wasn't even listening? God hears all prayers and may be telling you something that you're simply not hearing. Could there be active sin in your life that he wants to address? Might he be saying no or not now to your request because he has something better? Is it possible that you're praying for your will to be done instead of his? These are all potential reasons, but the real place to start is your relationship with Jesus. We're all sinners in need of forgiveness. That should be our first prayer, seeking forgiveness of our sins and an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is where our relationship with God changes. Have you truly accepted that invitation and prayed for Jesus to be first in your life? If you want to talk about what that means and how to invite Jesus into your heart, then call us at 888-NEED-HIM, or you can go online and chat with us at chataboutjesus.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
And we're back on Money Wise Live with your host, Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. By the way, today's broadcast is pre-recorded, so please don't call in. But we have a lot of interesting calls ready and prepared for you, so please stick around. Let's begin by going to Millery, Alabama. And Barbara, thanks so much for your patience. What's happening in your life?
Yeah, I'm 69 years old. I am a widow. I receive Social Security, and I pastor a small church. My late husband has been gone over 12 years. He died at 55. He had severe medical issues, and we weren't really able to save hardly any money. And so I have $10,000 in my savings, of which $3,000 I have in CDs, getting only about 3% or a little bit less. I'm just wondering, with this little amount of savings, if there's anything that you would recommend that I could maybe make a little bit more than the CDs I have right now.
Yes. Barbara, I'm sorry to hear about the passing of your husband, and yeah. I appreciate so much that you want to be a good steward of this. Yeah. You know, my only concern is that given that 3,000 of it is tied up in CDs and the rest of this is all you have in the way of savings, my concern is putting it at the risk of the market, the stock market, where you could have the potential to earn more, even though you're taking on more risk, would mean that you'd need to have a time horizon of, you know, at least 7 to 10 years, unless you go on the very conservative end of the investment spectrum. And even then, you should have a longer time horizon. And that would leave you with no available emergency savings if something were to come up unexpectedly related to a, well, it could be any number of things that you don't plan on that kind of come out of left field. And I wouldn't want you to have to then pull out of your investments where you're trying to earn more, but they're temporarily down. You're taking a loss to cover an immediate need. And so I would say, you know, other than putting this in a in an online savings account where you can earn maybe 2.25% interest with FDIC insurance and ready access to the funds, I'm really concerned about you tying this money up longer term and really not having anything else to fall back on. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, and I do have 3,000 of it in online savings as, okay, as CDs, and I get about 3%.
Okay, so, very good. Yeah, okay. And I realize you could get more by investing it, but you are increasing the risk, and therefore, you know, you do have the potential that if you needed it, you could take a loss. So I think you're probably right where you need to be. What is your longer term plan? Would you have some sort of retirement coming your way once you are no longer pastoring?
No, I don't. Just my Social Security and my savings.
Okay. Are you able to, based on your estimates, would you be able to live on your Social Security? Have you done those, taken a look at that?
Very few needs. I'm very frugal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Well, I think just taking this $10,000 and keeping it liquid for yourself, if you have the ability to save beyond that, you certainly could look at perhaps starting a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA where you could get a tax deduction and have some money growing for you while you are continuing to work. That would probably be the next place I would go. And with when you're just starting out, I'd probably look at Wealthfront or Betterment for those. And if you'd like to get some more information on just investing in general from a godly perspective, visit our friends, Barbara, at soundmindinvesting.org.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. God
Barbara,
bless you.
Barbara, if you don't mind, and I don't mean to pry, but as a widow and the pastor of a small church, and it sounds like you've been there for quite a while, one would hope that you've established good relationships and with brothers and sisters in Christ there. Are they aware of your situation? And I know as pastor that that may be a little difficult or even awkward, but I think, the body of Christ ought to know about these things. On a number of different levels, as far as you're concerned. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm pretty private about all that. I wouldn't probably want them to know because I'm able to get by, you know. So
yes, but would you want to know if any of your parishioners are facing a similar situation? That would be my question, and perhaps it's somewhat rhetorical, but I would hope you'd be able to share this with some folks down the road because that may be part of God's plan for you as you move into your later years. Just a thought.
Okay.
All right,
Barb.
Thank
you so much.
God bless you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Did I step out of bounds on that one, Rob?
No, not at all. And I think, remember, it's very biblical that the church provide for the needs of the pastor. And so I think to the ability of the church through God's people who are in the church, if there's a need to provide more for the pastor. So in this case, there could be money set aside for the longer term or a small retirement account put in place or a housing allowance or things beyond what is currently being provided for the pastor. That's absolutely a part of God's plan. And to the extent the church leaders know that, and then the larger body within an appropriate context is made aware of those needs, then the church can respond. And I think that's part of what we should be doing. So absolutely, Steve.
All right, thanks. I'm McHenry, Illinois. Ian, what's your 529 question, sir?
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing great.
Steven, thank you for taking my call and for everything you guys do every day. And I had a question about 529. So a few years ago, I got divorced, and I did have a savings, but it wasn't put into a specific fund for college for my daughter. And going through a divorce and losing most of my savings made me put me in a position where I had to restart again in saving. My daughter's 13 now, and I don't know if it makes sense for me to get a 529 at this point, knowing that she's going to be going to college in 5 years.
Yeah.
And I've heard that they can fluctuate, and I'm afraid it might be at a downfall, it's not going to be a long term. But does it make sense to invest into the 529 or just keep saving in a savings account for right now?
Yeah. Well, Ian, I appreciate the question, and I actually would. I mean, I realize, given that you're only 5 years out, this money is going to need to be invested on a more conservative basis than, let's say, if she was still in elementary school. But at the same time, if you expect any return on this money, and we certainly would over 5 years, even a modest amount, having it inside the 529 when you know it's going to be used for qualified educational expenses anyway would just eliminate the drag of the taxes on the performance of the investments, albeit very conservative investments. So you may be more in the fixed income and conservative equity end of the spectrum. Also keep in mind, Ian, that if this is not going to be fully funded, or even if it is, this money from the day she goes to college is going to have to last for 4 years. And so if we were in a season of a downturn, you could choose to use other funds to cover the cost of the first year or two, and then perhaps use the 529 on the back end. So now your time horizon is not 5 years, but 9 years, which it could provide an entirely different situation. So I would, in fact, go toward the 529 savings plan. My favorite website for evaluating which plan is best for you, because they're in the state of Illinois, you may want to look at the in-state 529 plan, is called savingforcollege.com. Savingforcollege.com. You can get a rating on your plan there in state and decide if it makes sense to stay home with the 529 or perhaps open one in another state, which is absolutely permissible.
Does that make sense, Ian?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. We appreciate your call.
Your advice on that.
Yes, sir.
Thanks very much. God bless. All right, we're going to pause here for a brief break. That's what that music means. When we come back, La India is calling from Chicago. Also, Jan from Davenport, Iowa. And, just this quick reminder that we are not live today. This broadcast is pre-recorded, but still lots of great information coming your way, and we're pleased to have you with us.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
I get doctrinal questions from Bible studies, and I think this was Living Beyond Yourself. And it really blessed me because she said, I believe you, but I'm trying to understand how it is that the Holy Spirit operated differently in the Old Testament. So I'm writing her back. And while I'm writing her back, I am recounting scriptures. One of them I took her to was Numbers 11:29, when Moses said, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." He came upon, he was for the sake of empowerment for a particular task to be accomplished. After that task was accomplished, the Lord could take his spirit off of him just as he could put it on. That's why David, the psalmist, prayed in Psalm 51, his worst nightmare. He said, "Do anything to me, but do not take your spirit from me." So I've written Numbers 11 and I've explained it. Then I've written out John 14:17 and I've explained it. Then I get to this part, and by this part I'm nearly crying. Because it says, "The mystery of the Gentiles, Christ in you." When we receive Christ, his spirit literally dwells in us. And the only way you and I can be holy is through the Holy Spirit. Only holy thing you got in you and the only holy thing I got in me is the Holy Spirit of the living God. We're living out the holiness to the degree that we are filled with that spirit.
Beth is dedicated to encouraging people to come to know and love Jesus Christ through the study of Scripture. Why wait? Click online today, pick a podcast or television teaching or both. Just visit BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org, or download the Living Proof app. Glad you could join us for a quick word with Beth Moore.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
It's Money Wise Live. He's Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. And La India is with us now, calling from Chicago. A pleasure to have you with us. What's on your mind?
Hi, Rob. Hi, Steve. How are you all?
Very well, La India. Thanks for your call today.
Yes, thank you for your words of wisdom. I have a very important question for you, too.
Okay.
So I just graduated from undergrad, and I'm about to start my graduate program. But I owe $44,000 in student loans from undergrad.
Yeah.
So I would like to know what would be my best option. Should I defer my student loans while I'm in grad school, or should I start on a payment plan with the undergrad loans because I'm also pulling out loans for grad school?
Yes.
Right. Well, I think the key is, when you put your student loans into deferment, it can be a big relief, especially when you're in grad school and you aren't making much money, because pausing those payments through deferment, you won't be at the risk of defaulting through non-payment. Now, interest does not accrue on subsidized loans when they're in deferment. So assuming that's the case, your balance wouldn't grow. The downside is, although having your student loans deferred while in grad school can offer some financial relief, it has the potential, if you defer unsubsidized student loans, that the interest will keep accruing. Do you know which is your scenario?
Yes, I have both subsidized and unsubsidized student loans.
Okay. So if the interest is accruing and you have the ability to pay, that would be great, because then you could go ahead and start, eating away at these balances, and you wouldn't have the interest causing the balance to continue to grow while you're in school. The question is, do you have the ability? Tell me about your income right now and your ability to pay, especially on those unsubsidized loans.
I have the ability to pay the bare minimum, but I don't have the ability to pay a ton of money towards the student loans. So I was thinking about doing a payment plan of just putting a little towards it a month. And after speaking with the student loan provider, they told me the amount I'm willing to pay wouldn't even go towards my balance of the student loans. I would only be paying towards the interest. And I'm accumulating $5.65 each day.
Well, and that's going to happen regardless on those unsubsidized loans. So the quicker you start paying on it, the quicker you're at least covering that, so the balance isn't increasing. Have you looked at whether you could continue paying on the unsubsidized loans and then just deferring the subsidized loans only? Is that the scenario you were exploring, or were you looking at paying the payment plan on all of the loans?
Actually, that's a really good question. I was never introduced to that. So maybe that's something I can look into.
Yeah.
Once I called the student loan providers, I just talked in general about student loans. They didn't tell me which loans I would actually be paying towards.
Okay. And that's probably what I would look at, because money is right now, you're having to look at every expense. And I realize there's not a lot coming in and your focus is on school and not work right now. I think giving you the ability to cover those unsubsidized loans and not the subsidized, if they'll do that, you're going to need to check on that and see if that's possible. I think that would be my preference. If it's all or nothing, I think the key is just making sure you're being realistic about your budget so that you don't get yourself into a situation where you have obligations beyond what you can expect reasonably, and now you're having to look at repayment options and possible default and all of those kinds of things. So given the option, I'd love for you to tackle at least the interest that's accruing now, but I would ask that question, and then let's go from there, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right. We appreciate your call today, and thanks for listening to the program.
God bless.
Thank you.
Thanks.
God bless you.
You too.
Thanks.
And just a reminder, Rob, unfortunate reminder that student loans are so high across the country these days. There's no easy way out once you owe that kind of money. But bottom line, your bank account is not going to set your life pattern for you. That's going to be God. And sometimes you just have to bite the bullet and pay them off. Sometimes God will make a way. Sometimes there are creative ways. My own son took a five-year job teaching, which helped him get his master's degree for $4,000. So there are some programs and plans out there, but you have to be, you know, flexible and keep peppering God with your concerns, and perhaps he'll come along just at the right time and give you real wisdom and direction.
Well, keep your lifestyle as low as possible. Keep your expenses down so you can really focus on paying off that debt.
Yeah, amen. Let's go to Davenport, Iowa. Hello, Jan. How can we help you?
How are you?
We're doing great, thanks.
Okay, here's my situation. I make $37,571 a year, approximately. I pay 10% on the net for tithing. I don't have any credit card debt. I have a bank loan for $372, which was a consolidation loan. My mortgage is $582, and I owe $59,000 on my home. And I've got another lien on my home for $150 a month, and I owe $19,196. My problem is, I'm 71 years old, and I still have not learned to budget. And it seems like I'm going paycheck to paycheck, and I'm always running out of money.
Jan, let me jump in here, and I apologize, but we're about out of time for this segment. But if you'll stay on the line, we'll pause for a couple of messages, and then we'll come back and review your entire situation with you. We're glad that you called. Thanks so much. MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, and we'll come back and continue with Jan. This is a reminder that today's program is a broadcast we previously recorded. Thanks so much for being with us today, and we hope you'll stick around and enjoy the rest of the program after this.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
The Moody Radio verse of the week for this Independence Day is found in John 8:34-36. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." That's John 8:34-36, the Moody Radio verse of the week.
I grew up in a Christian home.
But that didn't stop Ronald Clay from trying to rob a Brinks truck.
In prison, Ronald learned his father had died.
It was out of nowhere that it happened. It just broke me.
Hopeless, Ronald yielded his life to Christ and turned to Moody Radio for spiritual growth. Today, he's at Moody Theological Seminary.
My goal is to be used in whatever way that he would have me used.
Read Ronald's story in this month's free e-newsletter, Uplift. Go to mymoodyradio.org.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The Supreme Court has ruled that states cannot cut religious schools out of programs that send public money to private education. The court's 5-4 ruling, with conservatives in the majority, came in a dispute over a Montana scholarship program for private kindergarten through 12th grade education that also makes donors eligible for up to $150 in state tax credits. Dr. Anthony Fauci says the U.S. is going in the wrong direction with coronavirus cases surging in some regions. That's putting the entire country at risk, he says. With about 40,000 new cases being reported today, he says he wouldn't be surprised if the daily count reaches 100,000 if things don't improve. Wall Street closing out its best quarter since 1998 with more gains today. The Dow picked up 217 points. The Nasdaq ahead 184, and the S&P gained 47. This is SRN News.
And you're listening to MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, Davenport, Iowa. Hello, Jan. Thank you for being with us. Could you give us your question and give us the details, please?
Okay. I am 71 years old. I have no retirement, no substantial savings. I'm still working full-time in ministry. I get Social Security, and then I have a very small part-time job, and I make about $38,000 a year. Okay. I tithe on the net. I don't have credit card debt, but I do have a bank loan, a consolidation loan for $372. My mortgage is $582. I have a lien on my house for $150. And I don't have any significant medical bills at this time, but I just seem to run out of money every pay period. No. I don't seem to know how to get into a rhythm of saving and budgeting. I've been in the middle of construction in my kitchen for probably over a year. So what little savings I've got is going to go toward somebody coming in and doing my countertop. Hmm. So then that will eliminate my savings. And I'm just trying to figure out how to learn to budget so I'm not panicking at the end of the pay period.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Jan, I appreciate that thorough description, and that's really helpful to understand your situation. You know, when it comes to budgeting, it's really nothing more than giving every dollar a name. And here's what I mean by that. You have a certain amount coming in every month, assuming you're able to continue with your health to work full time in addition to a part time job. I realize you have a lot on your plate, and we're grateful that the Lord has given you good health to be able to do that. But with every dollar coming in, Social Security and your work, your paychecks, we've got to allocate those. We've got to put a name on them and know where they're going, because apart from having a plan on paper that balances, then you're just trying to do the best you can and hoping that it comes out okay at the end. And really taking the time to understand on a in a thorough way every expense that you have, and then right-sizing any spending that's unnecessary or just that you can't cover with the resources you have, and eliminating expenses to the extent you can is critical, because we need a budget that balances. Now, given that you are you do have this debt, about $1,000 a month in the way of debt payments, do you know roughly, if you were just to continue on this current track, how long it's going to take you to pay all of this debt off? Have you run that scenario?
Well, the consolidation loan was taken out like 6 months ago, and it's a 5-year loan.
Okay.
My mortgage and my mortgage was a 30-year mortgage, and I moved in here in 2006. And the second lien was, which is a $19,000 or $20,000. Won't be paid off until 2033.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think, well, let me ask you this. Do you have any equity in the house?
Yeah, I probably have a little. I've got, I think they said that my house, my payment is down to $59,000. Like, that's what I owe.
Yeah.
And I think the last assessment was 100, maybe 101 thousand. So I mean, there is a little equity there,
and
but I have to.
It's probably worth more than the assessment as well. Well, here's what I see as going to be the likely situation. I think the first thing you need to do is get some help getting that budget in place and getting a system to track the flow of money in and out. You may do very well with an envelope system for your discretionary spending. If you're better with a computer and would rather use Excel or a web page like Every Dollar or envelopes, you could certainly do that as well. But the bottom line is you need something that works for you, that's sustainable, that you understand, and it's simple, and you can get into a routine with that. I think the key will be if you can continue to work until this consolidation loan is paid off, and then we'll probably need to sell the property, pay off these other loans, and perhaps find something that fits well within your budget, recognizing that hopefully you're continuing to save between now and then, and that you would want to make your Social Security really the basis for your spending plan, and we'll want to come up with a housing arrangement that fits into that plan. But I think for the time being, the key right now is to make sure you get on that balanced budget, you get that system of tracking, and let's try to focus on getting that consolidation loan paid off. And then I think we just need to solve for the housing at that point. If the Lord tarries and your health is good, you can continue to work. Hopefully, that will allow you to pay off the consolidation loan even quicker. And having that budget is going to make sure you eliminate any unnecessary spending. So all of your free money, apart from building back up your savings, is going to go to paying off that debt. And I think that's about the best scenario, apart from you making your church aware of some of your needs and perhaps letting the body of Christ step in and provide some assistance along the way. But we appreciate you listening today. Check back in with us along the way, and you can connect with one of those coaches at no cost at moneywiselive.org.
Yeah, moneywiselive.org, Jan. They work with people all across the country. They're well-trained, and they're looking forward to hearing from you if you so choose to. Thank you so much. Cleveland, Ohio, Martin, we have just a couple of minutes here. What's going on?
Hey, real quick, I got some credit card debt that I want to get rid of, and my wife and I are thinking about taking a home equity loan to pay that off, not close the account, but just pay it off, and then repay the bank at a lower interest rate. Is that a good idea? And does doing that lower my credit score?
Yeah. Martin, I'm really not terribly concerned about the credit score. You probably wouldn't see much of an impact there. But I don't like the idea of taking unsecured debt and securing it to your home, which is essentially what you're doing. Now, I realize on paper it can make some sense, because right now I think some of the best home equity loan rates I'm seeing lately, and this is not a line of credit where it's variable. I'm talking about a fixed rate of 20 years is probably around 4.99, about 5%. But remember, you're stringing this out over 20 years if you do that. And you can get obviously a shorter repayment period, but the interest rate is going to be even higher. And so I just really would prefer you to buckle down on your spending, evaluate your budget in detail, look for places you can cut back. If you want to try to get out from this credit card debt quicker, and I would certainly encourage that, the place I would turn before a home equity loan, which would never be my suggestion, would be a debt management program. Our friends at Christian Credit Counselors would love to work with you. You'll pay the debt off 80% faster. They'll help you reduce the interest rates. You'll have one monthly payment, and it does not factor into your credit score, even though those accounts would have to be closed. And so when those are taken out of the equation, you may see a drop in your credit. But my biggest concern right now is you paying off this debt. And keep in mind, when people move debt to homes, usually the credit card debt is back within 3 years, and that would be the worst case scenario. So you'll find them online at ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
Martin, thanks for your call. Rob, great advice. More Money Wise Live with Rob West right after this.
Do you know if you have enough money, enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I'm here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. One lady took to heart what I said at a ladies' Bible study and decided to become a vehicle for God's love. Her first act was to love on her post lady, who was rarely friendly. To her surprise, the post lady confessed it was her worst day ever because she had just lost a certified letter, and she was in big trouble. The short version is that that post lady watched God answer the prayer of a committed Christian who was genuinely concerned for her. The lost letter was found and turned into the post office. It's no surprise that this post lady's view of God and Christians has completely changed. What a great first try at loving everyone, including the unlovable, into heaven. They need God the most and often respond the fastest to an expression of God's love. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
This is Anne Graham Lotz with Daily Light for Daily Living. In the beginning of creation, God said in Genesis 1 verse 11, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. I wonder what it would have been like to watch the bleak, barren, desolate planet suddenly soften with ferns, exotic orchids, willow trees, fields of grass, all breathtakingly beautiful. What does the land of your life look like? Is it drab, void of any real beauty, devoid of happiness or joy, ugly because of the scars of sin and suffering? If God, through the power of His Word going forth every day, transformed this planet into something beautiful, He can certainly do the same for you. Listen to me. Ask Him for a complete makeover. Then open your heart to His Word every day. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, Giving Your Money and Things to Your Children Without Ruining Their Lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Remember, when you give, others can experience true financial freedom, and that's why we encourage you to prayerfully consider giving to our ministry, where we reach out every day to Christians all across the country, all across the world, actually. Our goal is not to help people just manage their money, just get on a budget, just balance the checkbooks. But our goal is to help people and Christians find true financial freedom in the context of God's word so that you'll be free to serve him when he calls. Thanks in advance for visiting us at moneywiselive.org. Let's continue on. Butler, Alabama. Hello, Randy. How can we help you, sir?
Yes, good afternoon. I was listening to your show earlier. The question was asked about long-term care insurance, and I've been considering that. My wife will be 50. She's 55 today, and I'll be 54 in October. But at the cost that you were referring to, possibly $1,000, $1,200 a month premium on a decent long-term health care insurance, that's a pretty steep price. I didn't imagine it was going to be that high, but I've got some 401k and some IRA and some pensions and also Social Security, of course, and even an LLC that has a rental property. But at what point, would you make a decision? At what factor of your material wealth would you say, well, I'm going to be self-insured? Or should we spend $150,000 out of $500,000 in our savings to go toward long-term health insurance?
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, the policy you get can vary dramatically in terms of the benefits that it's offering. You may want to just try to cover a portion of what the cost of long-term care might be, whether or not you add riders like inflation, the type of care that's available, what the triggers are, which they call the activities of daily living, how many of them before the policy kicks in, and how you're paying for it. Is it upfront? Is it a 10 pay? Is it paid monthly over the rest of your life? And the key is you wouldn't want to take on a policy that you didn't have a high degree of confidence you would be able to sustain in your budget, because it does us no good if you take on a policy and then you have to drop it down the road before you need it. Now, keep in mind, the policies could be somewhere around $3,000 a year, but they go up significantly, from there. So it doesn't have to be something that's a complete budget buster. The factor, though, that weighs into this, I think, is just the sheer number of people that end up needing long-term care in their lifetime. It's well over 50% of Americans will need some form of long-term care, and it typically lasts between 18 months and 3 years. It's the largest risk you have financially, assuming your general expenses are met, especially given the rising cost of health care. I think the time to look at it, Randy, is between 55 and 65. And remember, once you reach age 65, your life expectancy will increase on average to 83, 84. Now, of course, your health is going to play into that, both family history as well as what you know about your own health. And that would be something you'd want to look at in terms of both it affecting the cost as well as the benefit to you. But I would say anybody who's got assets of between $300,000 and probably $3 million need to really prayerfully consider it, evaluate it in your budget. If you've got beyond $3 million in assets, you potentially could say, I'm self-insured at that point. But anything below that, you really ought to take a look at this just because of the significant risk that long-term care insurance is. So I think the next step for you, Randy, is to get with an insurance agent who does specialize in long-term care insurance, just to begin to acquaint yourself with the various types of policies, the benefits that are available, what the cost would be. And as you begin to think about what your budget is going to look like in retirement, given your lifestyle as well as the income sources that you'll have, begin to evaluate how this would fit into that plan. And if it does, I would say sometime between now and age 60 would be the time you'd want to take that out. So this is a good time to begin exploring it, and I'm a fan of at least seriously considering it.
Also factor in there your longevity and your life, your parents' lifestyle and the longevity of people in your family. And like I'm a veteran, so I'd have VA coverage. And would you also consider that those kind of things? Because Social Security and VA will cover most everything that could be long-term affected by, in my
absolutely
health,
Yeah, so that is absolutely a consideration. And so you would be in a category where it's not as necessary given the coverage that you will have as a veteran. So I would certainly look at that as you consider this. But for the average person who doesn't have that type of care available, that's really the prime candidate for something like this. So certainly consider that and understand what will be available to you and any gaps that will be there as well longer term. Randy, last thing is just I want to say thank you for your service. We're very, very grateful.
Sorry. Thank you, Randy. God bless you. We appreciate that call. An important one, an important question for lots of us. Dallas, Texas. Lucy, what's on your mind today?
Hi.
Hi.
Mine is an investment question.
Okay.
So, first of all, God is totally in control of my finances. I'm 60
Amen.
Years old, and I want to grow this money for the next 12 years or longer, but I want to invest in companies that produce CBD oil for medical uses. But when I think about looking into companies, I know that I'm also going to run into companies that are doing it for recreational use, and so I want you guys to give me some advice on that. I mean, I know that it is a good investment. It's probably one of the better places to put my money to grow fast because I being 60, it has to be growing and available for when I'm ready to retire.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Lucy, I appreciate so much the question, and clearly you've indicated you want to honor the Lord with how you handle money, including your investments. A couple of issues here. Number one is, you know, investing is not something we do with desperation or to make a quick buck. Nothing really replaces steady plodding, which is what we see clearly articulated in the Bible. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent surely lead to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty." And so when we look at the counsel of Scripture around investing, and clearly investing is affirmed. We see it talked about a lot with Jesus and many of the parables. We see it throughout the Old and New Testament. So as stewards, we should be putting God's money to work, and I would say in a way that's prudent. We should expect a return, but we should follow his principles, which include diversification. And anytime we're in one sector or one specific product, as you talked about, we're not diversified. So I think we're violating Ecclesiastes 11:2 there. But beyond that, we should have a long time horizon. We shouldn't be trying to get rich quick, which is what Proverbs 21:5 was talking about. And then I think we need to look at when we're owning a company, and that's what investing is, we own a very small percentage of a real company, which means that as they grow and sell, we're benefiting from their profits. We have to really develop convictions around how do I want to invest God's money? Do I want to be a part owner of a company that perhaps is using their resources to produce things that are creating potential harm for some of the people that use it? I realize this one is, does have a medical benefit, but as you said, there are also many people using it for recreational purposes, and there's an obvious potential for great harm in using this drug, and the more people who use it, the more you'd profit from it. So I think, first of all, I'm really concerned about you wanting to try to make up for lost time by speculating, and I think that's what we're talking about here, which would lead to you being not properly diversified and perhaps taking on more risk, hopefully to achieve a greater advantage, which the Bible speaks against. And then the second one is, what companies do you want to be partnered with? What companies do you want to be an owner of? And what are they doing with their resources? And is that something you truly can support and that lines up with your values and priorities? So I think those are some things really to think about and pray about. What I'd like to do is send you a copy of Austin Pryor's book, Sound Mind Investing. It's the Sound Mind Investing Handbook. And I'd just encourage you to take 30 days, really pray through that, read through it, and really understand the heart of God when it comes to investing before you make your decision to move forward.
Lucy, we're a great question. I wish we had more time to discuss it because obviously it's on the news a lot these days, and there's lots of gray going on there. But unfortunately, we're out of time. But I hope that information gives you something to chew on there. Thanks so much. Joyce is on the line, but we don't have time to get to her call, Rob. But she needs to pay off a lot of credit card debt. She wants to know if she should refinance or debt consolidation or do a reverse mortgage. Any recommendations there?
Yeah, Joyce, you know, I'm not a fan of taking out new debt to pay old debt for a couple of reasons. Number one, we typically lengthen the repayment period. Even though the interest rate is reduced, when we stretch it out, we can end up paying the same or more in interest. Number two, it tends to take the pressure off. And so we don't correct the problem. We correct the symptom of the problem. Therefore, in most cases, more than 50% of the time, within 3 years, we'll have the new consolidation loan and the credit card debt will come back because we didn't solve the real problem, which in most cases is overspending without a budget. So I would say get on a budget. Don't take out a new loan. I wouldn't do a reverse mortgage just because of the cost associated with it. I'd rather look at other options like selling and downsizing and reducing spending. And then finally, I would look at a debt management program, and our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org would be delighted to come alongside you, pray with you, help you do a budget, and then explain thoroughly how a debt management program can help you pay this debt off a lot quicker with a lot less interest.
And the best way to reach them, Rob?
ChristianCreditCounselors.org.
ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Rob West with some great advice, and we appreciate your listening and your great phone calls today. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. For Rob West, I'm Steve Moore. Hoping you'll come back and join us again next time.